Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the
You know, I was thinking about it, you know, like right now it's probably, you know, my watch says 9:30. I was almost off just staying watching mine. You know, it's really on Indian time. I was going by this watch and here I went in and looked at the phone and it said only had 10 minutes, like 9:50. I said, well, I checked my watch. It was 9:25. I said, wow. Anyway, here I am, you know, all the way live. And the other thing I was tripping on, you know, looking back, I guess probably what is 147 years on this night, 147 years ago, some Peckerwood had probably just got done taking his last peaceful shit on earth, you know, non-stress, you know, out there and everything. He didn't realize that within 24 hours he's going to take his last real shit. And it wasn't going to be stress-free either. He'll be pooping in his pants and everything. And you guys know what I'm talking about, right? The other thing I was going to mention, that happened, and our people were there. And our people took that flag. But don't get that all wrong, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, we took that flag so, you know, we can fly it. Yeah, that's bullshit. If you want to fly that flag, go over there and make them Washichu quit flying it. You can't have two nations flying the same flag, right? The hell's wrong with you people? And plus, the chiefs at that time, the spiritual leaders at that time, didn't want nothing to do with that flag. They didn't. They didn't give a crap about a flag. What's a flag? In them days, what was a flag? Think about it, common sense. What was a flag to the Lakota people back in 1876? Flag meant nothing to them. You know, we talked about this, you know, about our people. We didn't have flags. We didn't even care about that. American flag was made off the sweat and blood off of the Hassapa working in the cotton fields, making the material to make that flag. You know, them Hassapa shouldn't even be all proud of that flag either. You know, I seen American Hassapa walking into the boxing ring wrapped in the American flag, all proud because he was representing America. You know what? I've been around and don't like to brag. But no matter where I was at, I never said I was American. Because I'm not going to change who I am just because they came and invaded this land. And you Indians out there that claim American, you people are lost. You know, that lady that was on TV radio last week saying, yeah, we're allowed to fly that flag because we were the first Americans. We were here before, you know. We weren't never Americans. First, last, whatever. Where's their brain at? That American name popped up in 1776, and I don't know where the hell it came from. They say America Vespucci or something like that. But I know there's a boxer named America. So that name America sounds more like a Muslim name to me. You know? And anyway, I'll get all fired up before I even start, you know. But, you know, there's always talk about this and that. And I'm going to cool down a little bit because we're going to have to say a prayer. It isn't good for us to be all fired up, you know, hair standing straight up, eyes bulging, forehead wrinkled. You know, you got to calm down. And because you know what, you know, it's kind of crazy for me to sit here and and you know, with my eyes bulging out, wrinkled forehead, my hair all wild because I'm kind of all, you know, fired up. Plus, today's a good thinking about that Rudy Pooh Custer taking his last crap. You know, that made me do funky chicken when I think about it all the time. You know, because, you know, that pecker would pay for what he did.
Yeah.
You know, that guy went over there to Washita River and massacred some Indians and got away with it. You know? But you know what? At that time, Crazy Horse and them put him on a hit list. Yeah, they put him on a hit list. They said, you know what? When he did that to those Southern Cheyenne, Crazy Horse and them were down there. They said, you know what? He's a goner. And look, it might have been 7, 8, 10 years later, but he's a goner. Dang, coyotes are outside, so there's, you know, I guess they're celebrating Custer, too. Them coyotes were probably out there watching it. They probably was out there eating after it was all over. The coyotes, funky chicken time for the coyotes, and, you know, going out there all kinds of Washita laying all over. You know, they don't tell that part of the story, but you know damn well, you know, when our people took off and left and there was meat out there in the field, you know, I ain't going to call it white meat, but the pale face meat. Anyway, let me get with here. Hey, Toshi, you there? Yep, you're there. So, what we gonna do tonight?
Oh, I'm right here. What's going on? Doors cat.
Yeah.
Shit,
I came in. You know what? I came in here bare ass with just a breech cloth because I'm celebrating. You know.
You know. Shit, that's the thing. I ain't even got that much on, huh? Shit, you.
Damn.
You got that on. You're lucky you got a breech cloth. I don't even have that, huh? I got a buck ass.
Yeah, well, I got a lot to cover. I got a lot to cover up, bro.
Well, me myself, I gotta let it loose every now and then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have I to drag worry it around, but that's great.
Because you're. You don't have to worry because you're kind of pudgy down there. Kind of pudgy. That's an American word. Okay. Go ahead.
Before we get too far, we better say a prayer. Let's say a prayer before we get started. Well, tungkasha na atawa kantantaya. Akele opetua.
I was kind of laughing because I didn't mean to, but I guess somebody somebody said, won't he?
They could picture you in the beach club, Chris.
Yeah. Somebody had a visual when we was talking. They said, won't he?
that wrinkled forehead, bushy head, and the beach cloth running around.
Yeah. really all proud. Jeez.
Yeah, and all these people's imaginations running wild tonight, Chris.
Yeah, got to kind of calm them down. You know, before we get going, you know, I was just kind of like thinking about, you know, because I wanted to touch base on some issue about, you know, because the Supreme Court denied the Navajo, you know, about their water deal, you know, saying that the water wasn't included when they made the treaties, you know. You know, the Supreme Court justice said that. But some other ones said different. But here's not the point. We already know that. The point what I'm saying is the Navajo president, you know what he said? He said, my job is to just worry about the Navajo people, and that's all I care about, and I'm going to make sure, blah, blah, blah. Well, let me tell you something. That is the problem.
Yep.
When you only care for yourself and not, he better remember there's 500 or more other tribes in this country than them, you know? And you can't never say, I only care about, you know, we're Lakota, right, Tanshi?
Yep.
But we always care for everybody, don't we? We pray for everybody. We carry a chanupa to pray for everybody, all the tribes, all the indigenous. This radio show, this AIM radio show, is the voice of the indigenous nations. That includes Puerto Rico, all down there, all over South, you know, all over the place. We care for everybody.
China, everywhere. You know, Percy, we've mentioned this before about the Navajo and their Mini. This water.
Yeah.
We've mentioned that a few times on this radio show of what the government and these so-called mining companies have did to those people. We've mentioned this. You know, what is this guy talking about, just his Navajo people? You know, we're all included in this when it comes to Mniwichoni. Mniwichoni means that every one of us living Vama Kashka Mniwichoni. When are they going to get that through their head? This guy is so worried about his greedy self. To me, it doesn't sound like he cares for his people. Because we should all, as Lakota people, we should all be included into that. Because we were here. This water belongs to us. Washitus have nothing to do with it until after the fact. And that's why I mentioned Nestle's, what they were doing to those people in Canada. I've talked about water issues here on this radio station because it pertains to all of us. You know, I hate saying this, but Native American people, because we're not Americans. Like I always say, Lakota, when I say Lakota people, it's inclusive. All the tribes, like you were saying, it doesn't matter what part of the world you are. When I say Lakota, I am speaking of you people, all of you, all Native people. That's what because I don't like the word Native American. That's not what we are. We're original people. Where did this Native American come from?
We're not American.
Yeah, that's not who we are. We are, me and Tanshi, we're Lakota people. But we identify with every other, like he said, 500 some tribes here in America alone. The so-called made-up country called America. The water is ours. We've never relinquished. They keep, that's why I say, they keep stealing from us. But yet you have people like that guy, that president, saying he's worried about himself and his people. Where does that leave the rest of these, what, 500 other tribes? You know, what is he saying? Fend for yourself. You know? No, that's not what it takes. We're all in the same boat. We never floated in on a ship. When are they going to get it through their head? That's why I condemn these tribal councils. I talk bad about them because of this. I don't like these current systems that's set up. Because they're set up to where Washitos could steal as they please. This is proof of it. What Koshi said here. That is proof of what I've been saying all along. This divide and conquer still is in effect today. Look at all those mining companies. How were they in water when they were there, demolishing those big old hills up there, taking all this uranium, taking all this oil? Where were they getting the water from? Why did they contaminate it when they left? These are questions that the Navajo dude should turn to other tribes and talk about, discuss, because water rights issue is all of ours. We own it. We've never relinquished nothing. That's the problem with all these. He's worried about the Navajo people. You know, there's a lot of different tribes that are married into the Navajo Nation. A lot of different tribes. Who does this guy think he is? You know, if you look at it today, a lot of interracial, mixed Indians, Marion, why is he saying, oh, I'm worried about just, he's worried about himself and what he could get in his pocket. That's what it is. Mazaska, money. They probably paid him off like they did in North Dakota, that Miniwichoni thing up there. Big money changed hands in administrations that passed. And Archambault was trying to make a big deal of it. And that woman that was the head of that, she knew about it and she didn't tell the people. Big money. They were paid. But they didn't tell the people because they put it in their pockets. And this guy, whoever he is, if you look at it, he probably did the same thing. And now he's defending because he's spending. That's what it is.
Yep.
He's spending the money. And that's why he's defending that. He's using his, he's hiding behind his people, his mother, his father, his grandmother, his kids. He's not fooling me one bit. These things, Moses God changes hands before these issues come up. That's why the Washitu is saying he has enough guts to say that, because this guy probably accepted money. And that's why the Washitu is speaking up. He's got big old Weibos or whatever you want to call it. And that's why he's saying that. Because this guy is defending him by speaking up like the way he's speaking up. You know, the water that those people should have had in past years, they've never gotten to this day. Look at what they did in Flint, Michigan. They're still doing it because it's a lot of minority people in that area. Same thing with the Navajo territory. They should have had water. Look at all those casinos and stuff around that, cities around that reservation. Where do they get their water from? That belongs to these native people. They don't belong to these Washitos. These slave stealers, think about that. They come and later on they say, oh, I own like Nestle's did up in Canada. Wakantunka gave us this water and this land to live upon. It does not belong to these this invasive species, like she said. Who is this guy saying what he's saying? Miniwichoni is what this guy should be thinking about. Because all his grandchildren are going to be affected by what he's doing today. And he's trying to...
You know that them guys, Tanshi, you know they forget. I always hear them want to include themselves. They say, we're the red people. We're the caretakers of the earth. Well, sometimes I wonder about that because you know what? It looks like a lot of times our people are the only ones that care about Unchi Maka. Because
yep.
You know what? Because this guy, he's only worried about his nation.
Yep.
But our people never said that. You know, we said this water, this land, we always say Unchi Maka, you know, the whole earth. We say the whole earth, the whole everything, because she feeds us all. She gives us everything we need. You know, we care for that. We can't care for one person. That's why I always laugh when one of these AIM guys say, yeah, I kicked him out because he disrespected so-and-so. You know, they're loyal to men. You know, I'm not loyal to one man. I love my brother. I love my relatives. And I love everything. But when you go around acting like you're loyal to one man, you must be kind of rosy in the someplace, you know? Because you know, we have children we love.
Yep.
We love our women, you know? How can a man go around and say, yeah, I'm loyal to this guy, you know? Or like they were, one time they said, one guy, they said, he's more loyal to his tribe than he is to AIM. I started laughing. Because they don't have a tribe. They don't have a tribe, but he's in AIM. But he don't have a tribe. He's somebody that they pulled out of the gutter, and now he was a big AIMster. But you know what? Our tribes, our people, Oyate, are our people. And our people, just like you said, we include everybody. Because at one time, we were all one people, you know? And they forget it. That's why I get mad. You know, just like they say, what's that? Idol No More. Remember, they started that big Idol No More movement. Well, you know what? Back in the 80s or 60s, when AIM first started, you know, getting, you know, the move on, ask those Canadian tribes to come down and help us do stuff. And they didn't want to get involved. You know, they didn't want to help out. I'm not saying all of them, but, you know, they acted like that's your problem. And one time, another tribal member, when we were talking about Bear Butte and all the bikers over there messing with Bear Butte, and, you know, we were seeking some we were mentioning it. We weren't really begging, asking for no support. We were like, you know, this is for everybody. And they said, nah, you know what? We're other tribes. We all got our own sacred places. You know? And Bear Butte is a symbol of our spirituality, of all the people's spirituality, because Lakota weren't the only ones prayed in these places. There's spiritual symbols all over the country, over there in Wyoming, up there in Montana, California, all over, down in Mexico, South America. They're the same spiritual symbols for our same creator, you know? So we can't sit here and act like, you know, like somebody said, oh, you Lakota always think you're before or above everybody, or, you know, that ain't true. The only reason why that we get pushed around like that, or people are not wheezy, is because we do our best to hold on to what we have. And whatever we lost, we try like hell to get it back. You know, we try like hell to get it back. We don't just say, oh, hell with it. That's why a lot of Lakota forgot their language. They forgot their spirituality. But down the line, they came back to it. They came back and started learning. They learned songs, you know? And that's why I always tell other tribes, man, try to learn your songs, you know, learn your, you know? And this one Sun Dancer that comes Sun Dance with us for years, Tanshi, I went down to Oklahoma wanting his Zinipi, and I felt pretty good because we're down there and they're singing Lakota songs. But all of a sudden, he started singing Apache songs. I didn't know these songs, but you know what? I was proud that this man got back to his roots and learned Apache songs. This guy got that because he came, he sung that. Well, you know, I'm talking about Biscuit. You know? He came and Sun Danced with us. And a lot of these guys, they came and Sun Danced with us, and they leave feeling this spirituality, this indigenous pride, this tribal pride. And they go home, and they take advantage of that, and they start honing in on their people. And that's how, what, you know, like I said, Biscuit went in there, and Biscuit was singing Lakota song, but he came out and started singing Apache songs. I like that, you know? And it ain't because I think we're better. I think that people understand where the power is. The power is in the prayer. And when people lost their prayer, they come over here because for some reason, our people never forgot the prayer and never forgot our songs, kept doing it for hundreds of years. My grandma used to sit in the tent and sing Lakota songs, you know? I mean, and most people, their grandmas talked English. Their grandmas, you know, lost it. Most people don't know their great-grandparents. A lot of them don't even know their grandparents at all. They don't know their relatives or nothing. But our people, we're fortunate because we know where our great-grandparents come from. We know where they're at. We know what they did. We know where they came from. And we know a lot of us even know where they're buried. You know, we know where they're at. Where they left, you know. And so with that being said, I think that people, all tribes, should take a better note of what this country's about, this continent. It's about our people, our brown people, or what they call us red, our indigenous people, our native people. We were all one kind. And that's why Lakota say, Mitakuye Oyasin, because we were all relatives with not just us. With, you heard Toshi talk about Wamakanska, you know, and everything, you know, all the things that represent, you know, the fish, the birds, the eagle, everything, you know. And only indigenous people have the blessings left in their heart to still honor our four-legged, our birds, our trees, and all that. For some reason, only indigenous people still do that. Indigenous people in Australia, in those different islands all over. I liked it because down there, those South Sea Islands, some Washichu landed an airplane down there, and here they came over and took his ass over with bows and arrows, you know. And they're fighting for to keep their life together, you know. And indigenous people all over still use a drum. No matter where you go, it always, I always honored to see somebody whip out their own drum or their own, you know. I seen drums that look like our drums. They make them, in, you know, over in Russia and different places, you know. And different indigenous nations use a drum. So, you know, this Navajo guy, these Navajos, they don't have water. They're fighting for water. And I'm with them on that fight. They deserve water.
Yeah.
They, but you know what? They should have never turned their back on the others. Because it's all right to be proud of who you are. But don't forget, there's somebody else out there. I remember I was down there at a protest of a hydrogen plant down there by Shiprock. And they had all these people there. And this Navajo was speaking, and really he was talking about how great the Navajo Nation is. He was really talking, and they were saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. He had all his people out there really fired up, you know. And we're out there looking, and here he was saying, you know, I want to sing a song. He said, but I don't have a drum. He said, you know. But before that, he was talking about how they got it together and everything. Then he said, I want to sing a song, but I don't have anybody out there got a drum, and all his people, none of them had a drum. But I said, I got a drum. And he looked at me, so I went and got the drum and gave it to him. He kind of laughed. He said, here I am talking, but now I'm going to sing with a Lakota drum. You know, because here I am from over away. I went there to play music too, rock music, but I still had a drum. He was in Navajo country, and all them Navajos there, and none of them had a drum. You know? So he had to eat some words about this and use another tribe's drum to finish up his bragging, you know? And I didn't want to start no shit, but I just kind of, in my mind, I was thinking, poor guys, you know, they don't know that to have it together, you got to do 100%. And 100% means this. In our culture, and I wish this for everybody, for all the tribes, you need to have your drum, chanchega, and Tachanupa, or whatever. Those other tribes don't have a Chanupa. They have something else. Some have sacred staff or different, you know, different symbols. And but to be 100%, you need to have all your stuff there with you. When I go someplace, I'm always have my Chanupa with me.
Yep.
And quiet as it kept, I take my drum with me wherever I go. My drum, my chanupa, even my whistle, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, because this is what keeps me intact. Yeah, this is what keeps me intact with my culture. Because wherever I sit, my culture and identity is right there with me. I don't care if I was out doing a rock concert or I'm running, well, wherever I'm at, if I'm running around with the cholos, you know, with some big khaki pants on, I still got my stuff with me, you know, I'm glad to develop back into what I lost. And that's what I'm saying. All the tribes out there, it's not hard. They can regain what they lost. But the minute you start thinking, you're only going to worry about yourself and just your people, then you are by yourself. And like Tanshi was saying, how are you going to fight for water when that water's coming from someplace else? You know? So in other words, you need to fight for that water from where it came from, how it got there, and for where it's going, and how we're going to all keep it. And that's why Lakotas were fighting in Standing Rock. We weren't fighting oil. We weren't fighting to stop this and that. The reason why the oil came into the issue was because the oil was going to go right under the major water supply of the country, right under the Missouri River, right to our lands, cross under, you know. That's why we're fighting. It looked like we were trying to stop the oil. But remember the word that we were saying, Miniwi Choni. Right, Toshi?
Yeah, that, you know, it goes back to what I was saying. Miniwi Choni. You know, if this guy was here today in front of me, I would ask him, you know, what gives him life? You know, his mother gave him life, but there was water. He lived inside of Mini until he came on this and got with Choni. This guy doesn't seem to understand that it takes all of us people that were here. This divide and conquer tactic, to me, is right there where he's at. This guy doesn't understand. It involves all of us. I got some Takojas down there from mothers that have Navajo. I got some brother-in-laws that married into Lakota people. I have some Takojas down there. I have some nephews, nieces. I got grandkids, nephews, nieces, sisters, and brothers down there in that territory. Who is he talking about when he's saying he's only talking to the about the Navajo people? Is he the Navajo people? That's the question he ought to ask himself, because he's a fool for saying that. And now you have a Supreme Court justice backing exactly what this man's saying. To me, this guy is selling out. He doesn't care about his people. Because Mani, water involves all of us. It's something that's real sacred to us. And it ought to be sacred to this man, too. Because my Takojas and relatives are living down there with him. And he's trying to exclude them. Is that what he's saying? Because their mothers or fathers are from my reservation? Is that what this guy's insinuating? He's nuts for thinking like that, this guy. To me, he got paid. This guy's got money from these whoever it is that's doing this. Maybe that's Supreme Court justice. I don't know. But somewhere down the line, this guy got Musa Scott for what he's doing. Because water involves all of us, Tanashi. It's not just him. And it's not just his Navajo people. All of us. Because some of those people he's talking about are my grandkids, my nephews and nieces, my brother-in-laws, my sister-in-laws. I got relatives down there. So this guy better really open his eyes about Miniwi Choni. Water is all of us. We are all involved in that. And to me, he's trying to sell us up. That's what he's trying to do. And the way he talks, he's probably done sold himself up. Because Miniwi Choni is a bigger thing than just one man. It involves all of us. All of us so-called original people from this land. It involves all of us. We've never talked about the water. Look at our lands that they steal because it has water. Look at how these sky chasha, look at how these slave stealers are doing this up to this day. And that's why I question, where were these miners? Where were these guys that called themselves miners? How were they getting water when they were on that land? And why did they contaminate it before they left? They didn't give it to these Navajos because they were through it doing whatever. What did they do with that water that was coming in? You know, this is, to me, it's for years and years those people have been tortured with water. And it's still going on to this day. When are these these so-called civilized Washichuichasa, these Skycha, when are they going to realize that? They're humans. These people are humans. Or do they have to end up in court again to prove Native people are Indians? Is that what it's headed to? We're more human than them because of what we believe in. You know, Mini Uwichoni doesn't exclude the Skawichasha. They're trying to steal it. They're trying to say it belongs to them. Like there was some guy from one of these companies that said, people don't deserve water. They got to pay for it. What is that all about? The greed that happens with these white people. Man, that's, you know, that's totally evil. And this guy is saying this has got no shame. This guy, this Navajo president, well, he ought to be ashamed of himself for speaking like that.
Yeah, wow. Okay. That's good. I just wanted to say that, you know, that to, you know, because of water. They don't have water, and I understand that. And in the fight in the Supreme Court, they are, you know, that shows how racist they are. Say, oh, well, we made treaties with you, but we didn't make treaties about the water. You know, how wicked is that, you know? And so that's everybody's fight right there. But the, like, I was looking at, you know, and you guys are turned on, so you guys don't have to act all quiet over there, you know. Sometimes he, you know, because you guys, some, you know, like Philip and Wayne, you guys are from different tribes, and there's other tribes tuned in, and there's other people tuned in, you know, as quiet as it's kept. And a lot of times they don't appreciate other people. I'm not talking about people who tune in with us, but there's people out there, they don't take water seriously. And, you know, like everybody talks about that submarine, that little sub went down there looking for the Titanic, and it disappeared. One guy said, you know, the ocean can never be conquered. He said, that's one place, you know, you can't, it's, you know, the water, that ocean is powerful. The thing about it is we drink fresh water, that's salt water. But the point is, it's still water. This earth has water on it, and we're supposed to take care of it. And I, you know, Wakantanka didn't make everything for us to eat. He didn't make everything for us to drink either. He made it so we have to hustle a little bit. You know what I mean? And we have to respect a little bit. We have to, you know, understand a little bit. We can't just go out there all greedy and start chomping away and all this. That's why everything is a struggle. He didn't make us where we can just live off of grass. You know, that'd be too easy. He made every creature, every relative that we live with, he made us all have to have a struggle to keep our intelligence at the highest peak. And the human is the only creature on earth can't live with full intelligent capacity no more. When an eagle hits maturity, the eagle is full brain development, full intelligent capacity. The human, for some reason, nowadays can never reach full brain capacity because they're all tore up mentally. And I seen a big writing about these American Washichu saying, oh, we're losing our country. Our country's going down. It's this and it's that. And our forefathers didn't want it to be this way and blah, blah, blah. But now we got this. Now we're not protecting our borders. Now we're not. There he goes, back to the borders, you know. That he's being like this Navajo guy. Put borders around. You're only worried about Navajos and they're only worried about Americans when you need the whole toolbox to work. And this whole, every civilization, every tribal people, every people on this earth, we need them all to function. You can't say, oh, we need to put borders there so they don't come over. Well, those guys down there that come up here and help are helping keep their grass green over there to feed their racehorses and stuff, you know. They're probably the only friends they have, but they act like they treat them bad. These American whites is what I'm talking about, these American ones. Because no other white race that I ran across are like these guys, you know, these guys. You know, and they're white people, but they hate everybody. It cracks me up. Now they're hating on Russians. Russians are white just like them, you know. And they teach their kids all these racist things. They talk, yeah, Russian, blah, blah. They do it. And this one guy the other day started some crap at a Chinese restaurant. I think in Albuquerque, he went and paid for his food. And when he paid for his food, all of a sudden he said, you know what? I want my money back. They said, what for? He said, you got a Buddhist statue there and that's not right. Blah, blah, blah. So give me my money back, you know, over a Buddhist statue. And they didn't want it. So he was arguing. He said, I'm a Christian. And that offends me, you know. See how they are? I don't care. I'm not going to let a Buddhist statue stop me from buying a burger or nothing. I don't even think about that. But you see, they have problems. They have real mental problems. And they're worried about gun violence right now. Well, they should remember, they're never going to stop gun violence over here because you know what gun violence is? Gun violence is white. The gun is white. And the only way to get rid of the gun and the gun violence is get rid of the white. And I hate calling them white because remember I told you last week, I hate calling somebody white when white stands for pure virginity. White stands for all the best things, the, you know, the most sacred, honest, respectful things is, you know, that's for white, the color white. And they damn sure don't deserve to be called white man in no kind of form. They don't be deserved to call no color because every color represents something special. Every color represents the elements, you know, the water, the earth, the airy breeze, the fire. They don't represent none of that. They destroy everything, but they call it progress. They say, oh, if it wasn't for us, you guys wouldn't be driving a car. If it wasn't for us, you wouldn't be flying an airplane. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't need to be in no damn car. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't need to be in no airplane. You know? If it wasn't for you, we'd be happy where we're at. You know? And you see, they got everybody brainwashed into this mind that says, oh, we got to get to the moon, and we got to go see what's going on in Mars. We got to see what's going on in that moon in Neptune, you know? And they do all this stuff, but they just forget that, you know, Wakantanka, if he wanted us to know all this stuff, and be everywhere and do everything, it would have been that way. But like I said, he makes life a struggle for a reason. He makes us have to work for our honor. You just ain't gonna, nobody's just gonna give it. You gotta work for it. So yep. The thing is, we need to all stay together and concentrate on what's going on in our land, the land the invasive species took, the land that's running out of water, Colorado River's drying up, you know? And like I was talking about, Idle No More, years ago, our people asked them to help us. Oh, we don't, you know, nobody wants to help. But later on, when it hit their backyard, when all the stuff that we're talking about hit up there, then they started coming. Oh, we got to start. Then they started this idol called the Idle No More. What kind of idol? Idol, where'd they get that? Working a guy must have been a mechanic. He's thinking of letting his car idle, you know? What kind of name is that? Idle No More, you know? Thing is, our people have always been on their job to protect Unchimaka. And no matter what, people call Russell Means and all American Indian movement criminals and terrorists, but they never went no place, whipped out guns and started blasting people like the Washichu do in Walmarts and all over the place, you know. You know, our people showed up with a drum. Is that a terrorist? Showed up and was singing out in the streets. Is that being a terrorist? Is that drum so threatening that they call us terrorists?
Oh, but absolutely.
People don't want to give no credit where it's due, you know. But the American Indian Movement never. We had some big events. Our people marched across the country. And they marched through towns and cities. They never went and opened up on no people and gunned them down. They never did that. They showed up to represent some injustice, and that was it. But, you know, here we are. We get the bad name. Look at those peeping about black kids. Killing at parties. So they're saying, yeah, that's how the blacks are. Rah, 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 rah. You know? These are white people saying that. That's how blacks are. Rah, 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 rah. And then they say, look at Russia's over there invading Ukraine. Rah, rah, rah. They got their nerve. They're still here. You know? They're the kings of genocide. They're the kings of stealing land and invading and occupation and bombing. Talking about Obama, how he got, he was given a Pulitzer Prize or I don't know, some kind of big honor. Maybe one of you guys know what it was. But yet, Obama bombed, used drones so much and so many missiles on other countries, the U.S. almost ran out of supply because Obama was going berserk with his drone movements and trying to get up, especially when he takes credit for getting Osama bin Laden. Like, that's a big, giant honor to go kill somebody. You see, he even got into that bag where it's an honor to kill somebody. You know? They honor in killing people. When a fighter pilot goes on missions and kills a bunch of people, he gets a big medal. Big proud guy for being a mass killer. You know? Dropping bombs on villages, killing people. The day before they bombed Iraq, there was a video of Iraqi people out there in the streets, kids riding bikes, some weddings, some happy people, people sitting at restaurants, life going good. And here goes America, bombs the hell out of them. And what do they do? What do they do? They blamed all of that on Saddam Hussein. Oh, we bombed them because of him. So they blew up a whole bunch of people just because they don't like one man. They blew up a bunch of people in Afghanistan saying they're after Osama bin Laden. When Osama bin Laden, where's he from? Saudi Arabia? He ain't even from over there. You know? You see? We live in a hell of a world, don't we? Because our own indigenous people run around flying their flags, run around saying, I only care for what? You know? When native indigenous people in the past have always cared for the land, the fish, everything that we needed to survive. No matter what the world says in the history books, no matter what the Washichu wants you to believe, we didn't have no such thing on earth that was called hunger before they came. We never had a thing, homelessness, till they came. We never had such a thing called broke, or like me, baroque. I'm not just broke, I'm baroque, you know, because you got to have that mazel scar in your pocket or you're baroque. And, you know, they need it. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Good story.
The night before Custer shows up, you know, the night before Custer shows up, he's out there taking his last poop, and in 24 hours, he takes his final poop all over himself. And yeah, tomorrow, our tribe over here, we're going to have a powwow celebrating his defeat, you know. So I'm going to go out there we always had this powwow for June 25th right here, you know, in our res, you know. So anyway, Toshi, now it's your turn.
No, I'll just shut up
for a while.
No, I mean, you know, look at the things that we're talking about, like tonight, this Custer, the kind of dude that he was, you know. You talk about the evil that these Washichu commit. He was the same way. You know, there's, like I say, when that battle was over, the women were told, the people were told not to touch those bodies, to leave them where they lay. But what did these women do? They went out there and butchered them. And I don't blame those women, because a lot of them were in these death marches that Custer was creating, or that was doing. He was rounding Indians up, sending them toward Oklahoma. Now these women that got away told horrific stories of what Custer did. Pregnant Indian woman, look at him. He'd run a bayonet through the baby and the mother and kill them because they looked at it. You know, and he'd chop heads off. He did all these things. But yet, to the to the evil Washitu. He was a great man because he was a killer. He was a murderer is what he was. So, you know, when you really look at it, the Lakotas not only did the Washitus a favor, they did the world a favor by getting rid of George Armstrong Custer, who might have been president of the United States. The so-called these Washitus doing it. And who knows what else he could have been. But he was, even Reno and these guys that were on that campaign with him, they didn't like it. But yet, they had the following. He was a ruthless murderer. And he not only murdered India, he even murdered Washitu people back in the East. You know, but this Custer, the Lakota people did humanity a big favor by ridding him. And yet, we're the savages. Look at the things that he did and compare the savagery from what he did compared to what he got. And if he didn't do a lot of these things, these murder criminal things that he did in front of these women, they probably would have left him laying there. But because of what he did to a lot of these Native American or these Lakota women that he had captured, that he enslaved, that probably would never happen. So these Katela women that did that to him, you know, I don't see value of them at all. They did what they felt was right because of the things he did. He taught these women that. He was the one that was the teacher of what they did to him. And yet they want to blame the Native or the Lakota women or the Lakota people. We men didn't have nothing to do with that. It was the women that did that. But yet I'm proud of my grandma for doing that because of what he did to those to those women and those babies, throwing them in the air, stabbing them with bayonets, all these things. And he was a great man.
Toshi.
Heck no, he wasn't no great man.
Toshi, here's the thing, though. Why do they honor Custer? Why did they name towns after Custer? Why does the Washitu honor such a character? You know, I was in Germany, and I was with these politicians. They were taking this tour in the city, you know. And we passed by, and they said, right there is where Hitler died. I said, right where? They said, right there. He died right there. You know, these were some politicians. And I said, how do you know he died right there? They said, that's where he died at. I said, where's the memorial? And they said, for Hitler? You know, they thought I was crazy because I asked why there was no memorial for Hitler. I said, because over where we live, the white man over there, they made a memorial for Custer. You know, the white man over there, they honor people like Hitler. The Americans, they honor people like Hitler. They get people like Hitler. They name towns after people like that. You know, they name, look at Washington State, named after Washington. Look at Custer County, Custer City, Custer this, Custer that, Custer all over the place. They honor that kind of stuff. The American honor people like that. That's why when these Germans said that's where they killed Hitler, I said, how can you tell? You don't got no memorial there, because I'm used to white people putting memorials for people like Hitler, because they do that over here, put memorials for people like Hitler over here. Custer Custer was a hands-on man. You said it yourself, Tanshi. Look at throwing babies up in the air and catching them on bayonets. Custer was out in the battlefield doing that. Well, Hitler wasn't even doing that. Yeah, he was given the orders to do that, so he was guilty as them. But Custer was out there on it, doing it himself, Washita River, and all that, riding through there with his six guns, and just killing people, wiping them out. That's why when they talk about how he died a glorious, valiant death fighting on the hill in Little Bighorn, that's a big bullshit story. Because when he was down there attacking, he rode in to attack the women and children like he always does. He all of a sudden he realized he was the one getting attacked. He had already shot up his six guns, right? Six bullets here, six bullets there. He's on a horse shooting up, killing people with the six guns. All of a sudden, he looks, he's under attack. He had a whole ass. So how does a man load back up his six guns when he's got a bunch of Lakota on his ass? He has to ride across the river and to ride up the bank and up the hill, up to the top where he got caught. He didn't have a bullet in his gun when they caught his ass on the top. So he wasn't up there fighting all gallantly and all that like they say. He was up there bowing down to the Lakota at the last minute because he had no more bullets. He wasn't worth a shit. He left his men behind him. He left them to die. He was escaping is what he was doing. He was escaping from what was happening. A big coward. He was escaping his men. His men were poor guys following a leader like that, you know. He was escaping. They caught him up there. He had practically had his pants down. So what was his last thing he did? His last thing was to beg and plead. He didn't go down like people said he did. And there's a lot. A word of people are people that still survived, that lived, that were there when they took Custer out. It wasn't just the, you know, you got to remember. And then they try to make it sound like it was 5,000 Indians or 10,000 or something. That's a lie. You know, there was lots of Indians because they were out there having events out there. They're trying to make it sound like 50,000 Indians had to kill Custer. That wasn't even true. You know? There was probably only 20 Indians, not even that many, caught his ass up there on top. But he had to beg. And remember, we always hear the names of the most affluent. You know? Everybody knows Crazy Horse. Everybody knows Sitting Bull, Gall, all the main chiefs and spiritual leaders that were there. But there was other warriors there, other warriors, lots of them, that were brave and that were there when they took out Custer. They came home and they told what happened, their eyewitness accounts of what happened. And those stories, just like me and my brother were talking, you know, 147 years ago was Little Bighorn, the massacre of Custer, 147 years ago. Now, me and my brother were saying, damn, you know, here we are past 70. That means it was only like 70-something years before before us that this happened, you know what I mean? That ain't no far distance away from us. So keep in mind, that's why these stories came. And there's stories out there from real family members of things that really happened. And not everybody heard them. I'm talking like a buck Indian, heard them.
Like I was saying, one of my grandfathers, White Cowboy, was the one that wasted Custer when he came down that creek. And it took that Washichu 38 years of research before he really found out. He started from where this guy was, where White Kabul was. But he traveled for 38 years trying to find out who really killed Custer. 38 years later, he came back, and by then, Grandpa was probably 80-some years old. So he told him that he even had the gun, the rifle that he used, that 50 caliber. He showed the dude. So one of my grandfathers killed that man, killed Custer, and I'm proud of that. I'm real proud of that. But I don't go around bragging about it. You know, he did what he had to do. Grandpa did what he had to do to a stinky-ass white man. That was a murderous, you know, what you call... What do they call these people nowadays? Like Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden and those guys? What do they call them? Terrorists? That's basically what he was. Yeah, that's what he was.
He was a terrorist.
You know,
he was definitely
nothing,
a terrorist. You know what I find odd is, you know, they honor people like Custer, but they don't honor other people that are just as freaking brutal. Like, you don't see them having a day for Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, we can't have a day for Jeffrey Dahmer, but they'll go and have a day for Custer. You know, and the sad thing is, both Jeffrey Dahmer and Custer were born here in Ohio.
You know, they should make a Charlie Manson Day or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. John Gacy holiday.
Yeah.
Oh, they would be all up in arms and appalled at that suggestion. Yet they're not appalled at the fact that their own history shows that, you know, their heroes were nothing more than mass murderers.
You know, and it's hard for them to admit that, you know, because if you mention it to them, they get all offended. Some of them will just come right out and say, yeah, we kicked your ass and we took the land fair and square. You know, that's what they'll say. Because like when they're commenting about all the black kids that are out there committing murders, committing murders at parties, in at malls and stuff like that. You know, yeah, that's true. But yet, one of their people committed more murders in one shot than that Sandy Hook white kid that killed all them kids in Sandy Hook. They don't, you know, he's one of them. You know, that white guy that blasted all the Mexicans down at that mall in El Paso. Kid that just killed up a bunch of black people at a shopping store, grocery store up there in Buffalo. I mean, this white guy the other day got his three kids and shot, made them stand there and killed them. One of them got away and he chased that kid out in the bush and then brought him back and finish them off. That's how these whites are. That's a Custer style there. That's his bloodline. And they want to honor people like Custer. That they got a town over here called Custer. People all proud over there, living there in Custer. I went there to sell airtime for the radio station. Nobody wanted to honor our radio station. Except for one guy, a donut shop owner. He said, you know, I want to support you guys, but don't give me no credit. I want no one to know why. So he said, I can't give you no money, but he said, I'll give you something. So every Friday afternoon, he delivered donuts to Keeley Radio. Every Friday afternoon. He said, just don't tell nobody where you got them from. So every Friday, we had big box of donuts, and we'd let people know they'd stop up and get donuts and coffee, you know. But he was only one. The rest of them, like, are racist. Same way with Hot Springs. You know, Hot Springs right over there. Black Hills, they hate us. Rapid City hates us. Sioux Falls, Pierce, South Dakota hates us. That Governor Noem, she hates us. This is Indian country, and the white people, Republicans, run this country, this state here, and the social services over here is the highest rate of violating the Indian Welfare Act. And that's the real story here. And they got nerve to put down black killers. They got nerve to put down Russia. They got nerve to put down Venezuela, Iran. Oh, it's Syria. And look what they did what's his name in Palestine. The leader, remember, he was poisoned, that leader over there in Palestine, Farah or something, I forget his name. But same way with Gaddafi. Look what they did with Hillary Clinton and them, getting Gaddafi wiped out. And then what they do is they want to advertise how shitty they died, you know? Like, they made Saddam Hussein made sure he was pictured coming out of a hole and made sure they taped him getting hung by his enemies, you know? These enemies that hung Saddam Hussein tried to murder him. He was in a caravan going, you know, in Iraq, and they ambushed him and tried to murder him. And he survived, so he got away while he hunted them down, and he gave them all death sentences. That's why they gave Saddam to them people to finish Saddam off. Those people... Saddam was just avenging what they did to him. They ambushed him. Anyway, that's their business. But the point is, what I'm saying is the U.S. government, they're wicked. And that's how wicked they are. They killed Custer in Little Bighorn, the Lakota people in Cheyenne and some other tribes. They finished Custer there in Little Bighorn. Well, what does the government do? Well, remember, and I hate to say this, and I hate to do this, you know, but I'm just bringing out a fact. In other words, our people fought for that land. They wiped out Custer. They, you know, got rid of him. So just to be assholes, remember, Custer was running with the cool. Custer was running. He had the crows helping him out. So what did they do? Just to be assholes, they gave the Crow Nation all that land there.
Yep.
That's Lakota land, right? That's where Custer got wiped out by Lakota. That's Lakota land. But the crows got it. They gave it to the crows just to be vindictive. Yeah. Vindictive. And the crows accept it. You see, I would never accept something ripped off from on somebody else. That'd be like somebody selling you giving you my car, and you know it's mine, but you take it, you know.
Yeah, receiving stolen property.
Yeah, receiving stolen property, and yeah, that's F him. I got it now, you know.
Hey,
possession 99%. Yeah.
Hey, it's Wayne here.
Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to let you know, too. Yeah, I just want to let you know that, you know, Custer, no one ever pays attention to the fact, too, that he also had some Indian kids, too, by that Cheyenne lady, you know, and he was married. So that tells you right there that,
Wayne,
you know.
Wayne, hold it right there.
You haven't
been listening to Vember talking, right? Vember was telling you all of that for months. He's talking about Custer's kids on the res. Custer had, you know, Custer was raping women too. You know, Custer was raping. So there's families on this res. They're descendants of Custer. And you know what? I hate to say this again, but Tosh, are you there?
Yeah.
Anyway,
you know,
remember you were talking about Custer's kids, right?
Yeah. And, see, Custer had, you know, he had a sex slave, and her name was Yellowbird. And Yellowbird, she thought the Washitos, or the so-called Calvary or whatever, was going to accept these kids. But in the end, she found out that because they were half-breeds, the white people did not accept them because they were children of a squaw man, is what they said. So they left Yellowbird, so she had nowhere to go. She had, there's no place for her to go. So the Lakota people, where she was from, is where she went back to. So those kids were raised on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, so-called prison camp 344. And so the Yellowbird steels that live on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation now, those are the grandkids of General Armstrong Custer. They're not in wherever they claim to be. Those ain't, we've got some kids there. We've got a bunch of kids there on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. The Lakota had big hearts. Even though they were Custer's kids, they took them and they raised them as their own. And as a matter of fact, one was the Oglalasun tribal president, and his name was John Yellowbird Steele. He was the grandson of Custer, and he bragged about it during his presidency. He said they thought they got rid of Custer, but yet he was running Oglala. He said the very people that did that to is the one that's running this Oglalasun tribe. That's how evil these people are.
And he combs his hair just like Donald Trump.
Yep.
He got a Donald Trump hairdo, but he's Lakota.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that.
That's the truth of it. So Custer's kids or grandkids are there on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Just think about this. She went and turned to the white people, and the white people, the Washitos, didn't want those kids that belonged to Custer, because they were half-breeds.
Right,
think
you
about
said
that
on previous radio shows, too.
Yeah, think about that.
Yeah.
Think about how evil these whites, and yet they still brag about Custer to this day, of what a great general he was, you know. And people say the massacre of the Liberator, it wasn't a massacre. They brought the battle to the Indians. So the Indians defending themselves again. It was a battle. They were the ones that had the best equipment. They had the best repeating rifles, everything. But yet the Indians kicked their butt. Lakotas did him in. The Cheyenne, Arapaho, and all these other generals that were with him, they all cried and ran. They're a bunch of sissies. Without that guy, that murderous dude, all these other generals didn't want to fight.
Remember that general Reno got away. He snuck away and took off. He's one of the ones that got away and hauled ass. He got so far away, they couldn't even find him ask him. They didn't even know Custer was getting his ass whipped because General Reno was still running. You know?
Reno was general.
You know? He wasn't
Miles
even trying to help. Custer,
Sheridan, you know, all those generals, Sheridan, Miles, all of them guys, they all ran. They didn't want, you know, they didn't want to get annihilated either. Because, you know, they had them right where they wanted them. And so the Lakotas and the Cheyennes and the Arapahos did a number on the United States Cowboys, you know. So it wasn't a massacre. It was a battle because they brought it to us. How did it become a massacre? Because of the Washitas, because they got their asses beat. That's when it became a massacre. Nowadays, they're trying to straighten it out. Oh, the battle of the Little Bighorn. Now it finally turned a battle. You know, but yet any time that they did that to, like the Lakota people, when it was all women and children in camp and they killed them, oh, it was a battle. You know, what was that about when all the men, fighting men, were away hunting to supply for their family? And yet the Washitas would come in and annihilate them and call it a battle. You know, these things, that, you know, history's got to be straightened. They're still doing it today, like Toshi said. You know, they go after a person like Saddam. Now look at who they're after. They're after Putin. For what? What about these guys here in America? What about Bush? What about Obama? What about these guys that went overseas and killed all these people? How come they're not held, you know, as criminals, war criminals? Because this is so-called the evil Washitas, Americans are called. They
and
love,
you know,
that. They love
Ripper,
murder.
You bring up a very important point here that maybe people aren't catching on to. And you know, this is, I want all of our international listeners to listen to this. The hypocrisy of America, for them to sit there and pass judgment on other countries and complain about human rights violations. You international listeners out there should go to your politicians and say, you know what, when America starts trying to do this crap to us and trying to call us out on stuff, maybe we ought to start bashing them in public and in the UN. You know, bash them and say, hey, don't talk about us. What about you? You're still treating the indigenous people there with disrespect and dishonor. You're still killing their kids through your policies. You're still doing the same. You're doing the same thing. So shut your mouth. Shut the hell up.
That ain't counting how many cops killed Indians. You know, cops killed a lot of Indians. And, you know, Black Lives Matter, they talk about their blah, 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 you know. But cops killed lots of Indians. They killed a nephew of mine in Scottsdale. They chased him, and he drove into the res line, and he knew he was on the res, so he stopped on the other side of the res line, and he jumped out and looked at him and opened his arms and laughed in their face. And those cops opened fire on him. And he was on the res. They got away with it. My sister was crying to me. She said, you know, he even had bullet holes in the bottom of his feet. So what does that tell you? He was laying on his back, and they were shooting, and bullets were hitting the bottom of his feet. That's how wicked they are. You know, and what about the guy in Rapid City they killed? They were eating dinner. So the door knocks. He gets up. He has a steak knife. He's still chewing on steak. Answers the door and got a knife. And so the cops blast him because he got a knife. They get away with all this stuff. You know, they murder lots of Indians. They killed a little skinny Navajo girl there in Farmington, I think Farmington or someplace over there. And little skinny Indian lady, kind of drunk. And they said she pulled the scissors on him, and there's a video of it. But the cop that shot her was like 6 foot tall, big white boy. I mean, he could have took that scissors away from her. You know, it just blows my mind how many Indians they kill. They killed an Indian down in a trailer court in Colorado, Colorado Springs or something, and in front of the Indian kids, this on the video, the little Indian girls are looking while they're killing this guy they know. And he wasn't doing nothing. He was just drunk. And they gave them cops medals too. See, the American likes to give medals to killers. They like to encourage killing by giving medals. They like to promote killing by giving medals. You know, the better killer you are, the more medals you're going to get. The more people you kill on a bombing mission when you're in a jet, you become a hero to them. You know, that's how these generals and all them, they make rank. The better killer you are, and none of them are killers with pride, they kill making sure they don't get a scratch. They don't go into battle and get down with the enemy. You know, most of them can't fight anyway. I mean, you know, how? Put me in a room with Biden and see who walks out and who's left naked. You know?
You know, in addition to what you were mentioning there, Wombly, about, you know, about natives being killed by cops too, the statistics show per capita there are more indigenous people killed by the cops than any other nationality in this country. But Black Lives Matter is what gets all the attention. Look at the indigenous carver up in Washington State. This was like,
yeah,
what,
that was cold blooded.
9-10 years ago?
And he was deaf. Yeah, and he was deaf.
Yelling at
he couldn't
put
hear
the knife
cop.
Down. Go ahead.
Yeah, who had something to say? Anyway.
Oh, I was just saying,
hey, Ursula,
yeah,
wait. Okay. Ursula, Ursula, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I was a little late getting on the radio. I wanted to address some things, but we could do it next week. I wanted to talk about ICWA and taking care of Indian kids. There's a little Indian girl down here in Santa Fe that was taken by a white girl in the state of New Mexico, helped her do it.
Oh, no, that's important.
What happened,
though?
Talk about it.
What happened?
Bring it up.
I was on the radio show before and talked about what was going on, and I seen this, because this was 2 years ago when all this was going on, but it's kind of a complicated thing. They want the child to go back to the father, but the father was the abuser. But it was the white woman that would encourage the father to abuse the daughter so she could take the daughter. But this had to do with Dapple, too. I believe this white woman went to Standing Rock to steal an Indian child. And she got a hold of this Native man who has FAS, fetal alcohol syndrome, so he's, you know, he's got issues, and she seen that he was vulnerable, and now she legally took the child. But ICWA stands, and this ICWA overrides state laws, because there was a law down here, and I guess it's in South Dakota too, where if you're 14, you can tell where you want to live. You can say who you want to be with. Woman grooms the father and the daughter. It's just a real, but I'm upset about that because the child needed help a long time ago. When I turned him in for child abuse, no one believed anything that was going on. But I don't know if you guys remember when I was on the radio show. This was, like 2 years ago. I talked about it when I turned him into Child Protective Services because she ran away to my house. And that's when the cops made the child a criminal and was like, oh, because the white woman was saying she runs away all the time because the little girl was running away. And I was telling the cops.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling the story.
Yeah, and I was like, well, ask her why she's running away. And they were like, just get in the car. You're wasting everyone's time. You're wasting all this and whatever. And if you don't get in the car, then we'll take you to jail. And that little girl grabbed the cop's arm and was told him, take me to jail. And I was like, hello, cop, that's a red flag. Hello, hello. And they just made her go with the parents. But she was being abused that whole time, and the white woman encouraged it. And she, and the father looked back to everyone, because I tried to get the father to leave her. And even the family back in South Dakota, I reached out to. They were like, if he leaves, we'll send you money for gas. But the little girl's lost still, and she just wants a mom. She wants someone to love her. And then I don't know how to. I'm upset about it, and I wanted to talk about it. And I want someone to try to help her, because this woman took off again. There was a court hearing in the 22nd, and she took off to that summer solstice thing in the Black Hills or at Bear Butte. And then when she was hiding the child in the mountains here in New Mexico for 5 months when the dad was trying to get her. And then there's a Nico Shotaway. I wanted to ask about him. And then a Tara Pretends Eagle, who she said that she's Phyllis Young's daughter, but she was adopted out. But anyway, there's just all these things I wanted to know, because Nico Shotaway tried to come down here and help the father, and I was telling him, you can't come down here and represent anyone in court because you're not licensed to represent anyone. You're good on the res. Anyone could be the lawyer on the res. But I don't want the child to go back to the father. I want someone in the family to try to come get her. I put in paperwork the other day to try to get the child, because it seemed like the grandmother and the mother signed away parental rights a long time ago when the child was young. And they're from Porcupine. Mm-hmm. And it's just the child hang on and all these things. Yeah, and I reached out to the grandma, and I thought maybe the grandma in Porcupine, because they said she was a good woman and took care of her Tocosias, but she wanted nothing to do with it. And I was upset. This was 2 years ago when I reached out to everyone. And I called Child Protective Service in Pine Ridge and in Rosebud to see how I could help her, because I didn't want her to get lost in the system, but I didn't want her to be in that situation either. I saw these things with my own eyes, and I gave the white woman and the dad tobacco ties, and I told him what I was going to do, because the white woman kept talking about him abusing her. And then when I gave him the tobacco ties and I told him I was going to turn him in for child abuse, I told that white woman, you're abusing him too, because he has issues and you're encouraging him to do that so you could come in and be like the white savior. And that worked. She groomed that little girl and him for 5 years. She was waiting to take the little girl, and she got her. And the state of New Mexico gave her custody.
Wow. You know, see, that's the kind of stuff. There's so many little, it's like a bowl of spaghetti, you know, of little events and little slips and all that, where Indian kids get caught up in some real bad situations. And then what's bad about it is you end up with the Stockholm syndrome. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So these people, these Washichu, and just like my Tocosia was down there in Colorado, they had white family had him down there, and they were at first. He was happy to be there because he did live around some drunk family. But then all of a sudden, he found out that was worse. He ran away from them, came up here, and, you know, he was happy to be around me because, you know, I'm his grandpa. I have Neepy, and, you know, I don't do all that stuff. So he was happy to come around here and started going to school and stuff. And then they came up here and nabbed him out at school one afternoon. That white lady came with a bunch of cops. And the tribal cops didn't even defend him, you know. So they put him in a cop car, but luckily for him, he slipped out of the handcuffs in the cop car, a little escape artist, and got away again. You know, so this time I told him, you know, he stayed hidden for long enough to be 18 and all that. And I told the tribe, I said, you know what? He comes to Inipi. And in my culture, when a young guy goes to Inipi and lives this way, he becomes a man. So he's a grown man, and that woman and that department and all them have nothing to do with him no more. And I wrote to the tribe and told them they should defend him and told the tribal court, you know. But anyway, he got through with it and made it through all the, you know, he outgrew them. He escaped and outgrew them. But, yeah, they came to Todd County and busted him right, walked right in front of all the students and fronted him off in front of everybody and took him, busted him right there in Todd County School. And he was trying to do good. That's why he went there. But I kind of didn't want him to go to Todd County School because that was off the, you know, in Mission. You know, it's kind of a state jurisdiction. And that lady, that white lady came, you know, with her money and all that, and she got him. But luckily for him, he's a little escape artist.
You know, Crunchy, that goes back to that kind of goes back to that story I was telling you about this woman that adopted that or took that Indian kid off the reservation when he was young, took him back to Nebraska, raised him. And she was falling on hard times. So she brings the Indian kid back to Pine Ridge, goes to the VI office, to the tribal council, and tells them that since she raised the Indian child, she should be compensated. These things, these stories like what they're telling you, what I'm telling you, you don't think about this. This is how the Sky Chasha, the white man, this is the monetary gain. And I talked about this a lot on this ECWA deal. You know, the only time ECWA is going to have any kind of bite or any kind of standing is when they take over the Indian Child Welfare Act itself and demand change. But as long as they don't do that, these white people are going to continuously do these things. Like you were saying, they came after, and these tribal cops defended these Washitas. What right do they have laying hands on an Indian kid? They don't. Those tribal cops should have stepped up and said, no, he belongs with us, and took him back to Rosebud. But they didn't, see? Anytime a Washita speaks up and says something, these Lakotas kiss their ass. That's got to stop. I'm tired of them stealing and bossing us around and doing these things. And our own people defending that, like that flag you was talking about. All it is ass wipe. Why are these people all getting up in a huffy about it? Getting their panties in a bunch. It's a rag. It don't represent shit. You know, that American flag, to me, is a joke. All it is toilet paper. Why are these people, our own people, oh, I'm a vet. I'm this. I'm that. Think about what they did to your Tunkashila. Think about what they're doing to us today. We are not part of that. We've never were. And yet these people want
that
to defend
flag
us.
Threw
people,
that flag threw Indian babies up in the air and like Tunkashi said, caught them with the bayonet. That flag was behind that man who stabbed that pregnant Indian lady through the gut, through the baby. That's the kind of people that the Americans honor, and they got nerve to sit over there and call other people names and talk about other cultures, you know? And they're really slick by, you know, this Biden, you know, putting what's her name, that woman, Deb Haaland, in a, you know, giving her a position. Oh, we're helping the Indians out, you know. And then put a gay person over here. Oh, we're helping the gays out. Then put another person over here. Oh, we're helping them out, you know. And they even got them. They even got them.
Where's Bumbo's check?
They got them all over the place. Huh?
Where's Bumbo's check?
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that.
You know,
look at that guy. Buttigieg.
That goes back to what we was talking about. Look at what they're doing to Putin now. You know, that man hasn't done nothing against me. And yet, they want to point fingers at him as a bad guy. Putin has never done nothing against me or the Lakota people. Why should I turn around and, because of a flag, hate that man? I don't got no hate for that guy. As a matter of fact, like
you
always said, he was willing to take our brother Peltier. In my books, he's a damn good man. And yet, these so-called Americans are the ones that are making them out to be a villain. America is the biggest villain. This guy's just a plague.
You know, the Sundancer, that Sundance with us, well, one could tell you what tribe he's from, you know, but this Sundancer was on his page with a Ukrainian flag on him when I jammed him up because, you know, they don't know nothing about the Ukraine.
And
in 2014, the Americans were trying to scheme Ukraine. The Russians offered to let go of Ukrainian debt, like so many million dollars, and then they were going to give them, while the American went and sideswiped them and went over and just straight out gave Ukrainian a bunch of money. And you know where that money came from? IHS, and it came from social services, so our retirement and stuff. So, and other government that they don't need. And so them Ukrainians took that money. And ever since that time, we've been having to go to Rapid City for Dennis, Sioux Falls, and all over. So the Ukrainians took that. The Russians, they never took money from us to live, and neither did China, and neither did Iran. And Venezuela came and gave us oil and propane. But the government wants us to hate everybody. The government, and they get Indians in on that, like this guy that Sundance with us, having that Ukrainian flag. I tell him, you know what? You laid right beside me at Sundance and all that. Here you are. I jumped on his case. He said, well, I didn't know that, nothing about that. I said, why are you supporting something if you don't know nothing about it?
Yeah, that's the truth.
You see, people want to support something that seems popular to have some friends, but they don't know how racist Ukrainians are. And the Ukrainians didn't hide it. They told the Americans, don't bring no black American cross workers over here. We don't want no black American cross workers.
Racist.
You know those, you know? And even though they did that, everybody just overlooks it. Okay, we won't do that, you know? But Indians, I don't care. A white man could like anything they want because they do anyway. But an Indian, a native, indigenous, I don't care what tribe you are, you ain't got no business sucking their ass. Excuse me, but it's almost time to go, so I just wanted to leave you with a bad word from me, you know. I'm getting ruffled up, but you know, our people don't know nothing about them Ukrainians. Them Ukrainians are racist people, and they, you know, they try to imitate Americans. Yeah, they run around with rings in their noses. You know, you go to Russia, some of them don't even know what pot smells like. They don't even know about heroin or stuff like that. But go to Ukraine. They're into heroin, meth, everything, tattooing themselves up, anything like the American. They even have, even robbing, they're raping and murdering those Russians. That's why the Russians went in there, because there's millions of Russians been living there. All they're all relatives. They speak the same language, you know. It's like Dakota and Lakota, but people don't realize it. They speak the same language. They intermarry. They're connected. There's millions living in Russia. Millions of Russians living there. They intermingle for all these years. But just because the American wants in over there, he divided and conquered and started helping Ukraine out and told them, you don't need Russia. You got this. We'll help you out. You know? So that's why they did it, you know? But anyway, you know, anybody got any last quick comments?
Just, it was another great show.
You know, because it's time to roll on out of here. Yeah, Arafat, that's that guy's name, Arafat, that one, a Palestinian leader. He was no threat to nobody. He was for peace, you know?
Yeah.
And Gaddafi, the reason why they killed him was because he wanted to get rid of the American dollar. He said that American dollar ain't worth nothing and everybody's taking it, you know?
Yep.
He wanted to use another system, gold and stuff like that, you know? Because America don't even have the only gold they have is what they say they have. They make it sound like they got gold in Fort Knox. Shit, underneath Fort Knox, they probably just got wine bottles, you know, alcohol, because America's the biggest alcoholics on earth.
Well, they got a steel on it. It's moonshine steel.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Toshi, you're going to have to take it right now because we're going to have to, you know.
Let's say a prayer and we'll end it. Let's say a prayer and we'll end it.
You know what? One more thing. If you guys don't understand Lakota, those prayers that he says, he prays, you know, for health, for all these good things, for our people, for Wakayansha, for children, you know, we chose on the end, all these special things. Our people pray for everybody. Our prayers are for everybody. We don't have a Christian prayer where I pray for my troops. Who the hell pray for? Other people got troops too. Why ain't you going to pray for them, you know? But that's how they are. I pray for my troops, you know? This Americans are total greedy, selfish people because we have to pray for enemies too, you know?
Yeah.
And as quiet as it kept, I even pray for them Washichu because they're really pitiful people. They just haven't quite figured it out yet.
Yeah.
They're pitiful people. They're in for trouble. Anyway, we're going to have to take off right now. So don't shop.
And that's what makes us Ushika. We're all exchange, Tasha.
You know, your son should die at all.
Damn.
Electrical. You know, talk so petrology, you just can't care won't you see I talk to them.